Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, Dermot. Good afternoon on this Tuesday afternoon. 51551 for your texts. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. I wonder, are any of you walking around with a pair of headphones with a built-in radio in them with a little aerial sticking up out of it? The reason I ask is I was out for a run on Sunday morning and I passed this man and I thought, whoa, have we just time travelled? Is this the 80s again? I remember buying one of those. They were big, heavy yokes. You had to put batteries into them and you could tune in to FM with the little aerial sticking out. So this man was walking around full of the joys of spring, a sort of a dark red, sort of Marvel red, and the little aerial sticking up. And then I passed him again. And obviously because the radio was booming in his ears, he went, "Hello!" You know, because when you have headphones on, you think that you're not shouting when you are shouting. I looked it up. You can still buy them. Seemingly in construction, sometimes they wear them because they fulfil a double function. They keep the noise of the heavy machinery out and they let you listen to your favourite radio station at the same time. But mainly they're a leftover from the 1980s, early 90s. So if you are that man with the Marvel Red headphones with built-in radio, built-in FM radio and aerial, do let us know. I'd love to have a chat with you. 51551, ray@rte.ie. We got an email yesterday from Alec. He was looking for the owner of a lost sheep. He found it outside the Rock Shop in Liscannor, County Clare over the weekend. And we thought we had a resolution when Kate got in touch with us. Her daughter had lost her beloved Teddy over the weekend. They'd happened to be outside the very same shop, the Rock Shop in Liscannor. Someone had heard the show. She hadn't heard it herself. Got in touch to say that a toy had been found. Oh, this is the beauty of radio when it works at its best. Reuniting little girl with soft toy. Oh. So Kate got in touch with the show, all excited, but only to come crashing back down to earth like the rest of us. Because her soft toy was a bunny. The soft toy that we have is a sheep. Well, when I say we, I mean Alec. So now we've two lost soft toys. Yeah. These things happen in threes. Anyway, sheep detailed yesterday. The pink bunny that Kate's daughter lost was mislaid when in Liscannor over the weekend. It's a pink bunny. I'm looking at a picture of it here. Big floppy ears. It's one of those jellycat ones. They're a little bit more expensive, but they last longer and they're so, so cute. So inside the big floppy ears are sort of faded flower pattern. And they were all over the place. So it might have been Liscannor, but they were also at Bunratty Castle, Butter Cafe, Castle Troy Hotel, Arthur's Quay down in Limerick. There have been loads of places. So if you spot the little pink bunny, do let us know. And we still have the sheep, which is white with a black face and a little pink bandana type thing around its neck. Answers to the name of, no, I'm joking. So any details there, ray@rte.ie. So that's two lost soft toys. Dermot Bannon is sitting outside on the blue couch. I wonder, does he like it? Is it aesthetically pleasing to his architectural eye? And he's coming in to tell us about the RIAI annual Simon Open Door Initiative. It's been going for years and years and he's been there from the start. And you know the deal by now. You get a chance to sit with your local architect for an hour and quiz them on what you should be doing with the extension or the shomra or whatever. And you pay them €89 and that money goes to Simon, which is a brilliant cause. So Dermot's coming in and as always, he's willing and available to answer your questions. We rarely get through many, but if we rarely get through a lot, but if you have a question for Dermot Bannon about something that's going on with your house, get it into us, ray@rte.ie. Yesterday we were talking to Gregory Proven and he's from UCC and we were talking about AI and ChatGPT. Now, anybody I've encountered finds it difficult to say that. Why didn't they call it something more pronounceable? ChatGPT, and linguists out there would tell us that you have to make all sorts of different shapes with your mouth to say ChatGPT. But it's the latest in AI and it's a game changer by all accounts. And we should be paying attention to it and asking questions of our politicians. Anyway, when we were talking to him, we did nod to the fact that AI does an awful lot of good, Like it helps to diagnose cancers. Obviously, in everyday life, it gives us playlists on Spotify. It tells us what to watch on Netflix. All of those, that's all AI. So it's part of our lives now, and it does an awful lot of good. And here's more good that it's going to be doing, because Gardaí are examining the use of AI traffic cameras. So this is the future of traffic monitoring systems. So at the moment, GoSafe have the contract and they have around 1,400 safety camera zones around the country, but they can only monitor your speed. The new cameras, and they're putting this thing out to tender, would be able to tell if people were on their mobile phone. It'd be able to tell if people had their seat belts on, their safety belts on. It'd be able to tell if they were driving in a bus lane. So it's the next generation of speed cameras. Traffic cameras, I suppose, and that's what's coming down the tracks. So that's been put out to tender. All that's good news, I think. All that's good news. I saw a woman in a big SUV the other day on her phone. Like, I had to look at the reg, because it was all like, all those modern cars have total connectivity. She didn't need to be on her phone. You can even dictate a text. Not that that's advisable, because it's taking your mind off what you should be doing, which is concentrate on the road. And I just go, come on, get off your feckin' phone. But of course, she's probably addicted to her phone. And I see researchers at Electronics Hub calculated that people in Ireland tot up an average of 3 hours per day. 3 hours per day looking at their phones. And I suppose if you're in your car and it beeps, you're going to pick it up and have a read. You shouldn't, but people do. And increasingly, and I know you're sick of hearing this, but we are becoming addicted. And I just spotted a good thing today. Psychotherapist Hilda Burke, she has written a book called The Phone Addiction, and she's a little questionnaire. It's five questions. Ask yourself these questions, and I think if you answer yes to the last four, you may have an addiction problem when it comes to your phone. Are you able to leave the house without your phone and not panic? Yes, I am. Do you always take your phone to the loo with you? No. But ask yourself that question. Do you always take the phone to the loo with you? Do you get stressed if your battery drops below 5%? Do you sleep with your phone under your pillow? And this is an interesting one. Have you tripped or injured yourself because you were looking at your phone? So if it's yes to more than three of the final four of those questions, you should be looking at your relationship with your phone. We know, Ray, we know. But we're not going to change our behaviour. That's just the way it is. The nominees have been announced for the Screen Ireland IFTA Rising Star 2023 Award. This is always interesting because it's across disciplines. So you've Aoife McArdle, director. She worked on Severance, that brilliant series on Apple TV. If you haven't seen it, you're in for a treat. Then actors, few actors there. Danielle Galligan. Who's in Lakelands, which I happened to see last night and this morning, because we have Robert and Patrick, the writers and directors, coming in to chat to us about it today. She puts in a brilliant performance as Grace, isn't it? Grace in Lakelands. More about that movie anon. Darren McCormack, who we met, he's up for an award as well, Best Newcomer. He was up for a BAFTA in the same category for Bad Sisters. And Good Luck to You, Leo Grand. Ina Hardwick, who's also in Lakelands, is up for a Newcomer Award. And Catherine Ferguson, who directed the Sinead O'Connor documentary, Nothing Compares, is up there as well. And when you read the previous winners, it's a who's who of Ireland actors and filmmakers. Saoirse Ronan, Michael Fassbender, Donald Gleeson, John Michael McDonough, Sarah Green, Jamie Dornan, Nicola Coughlan, Colin Bareide, who directed on Colleen Kuhn, and so, you know, so if you get the nod there, you're going to go on to great things. Finally for today, before we get to our little piece of music, still on the movies. They're telling us now from research that movie stars who draw audiences to theatres are getting older, raising questions about young Hollywood star power. It's from Insider magazine. So they asked people which actors were most likely to get them into cinemas, and they were allowed to list five actors. So they got it, and loads of people all over America were interviewed. And the top 20 US actors that respondents named were all over the age of 40, with one exception, Chris Hemsworth. And he'll be turning 40 later this year. So you've the, you know, the Tom Cruises, the Dwayne Johnsons, Tom Hanks, Brad Pitt, Julia Roberts, Denzel Washington's in there, Will Smith, Leonardo DiCaprio, Johnny Depp, Kevin Hart, Keanu Reeves, Sandra Bullock, Ryan Reynolds, Adam Sandler, Harrison Ford, Chris Hemsworth, 39, Morgan Freeman, Angelina Jolie, Robert Downey Jr., George Clooney. Well, I suppose we like the familiar, don't we? We like the familiar. What I've noticed there, out of the 20, there's only three women. Julia Roberts, Sandra Bullock and Angelina Jolie. I don't know what that says about anything. Where's the Meryl Streeps and the Scarlett Johansson's? Yeah, but we like the familiar. And this sort of race after younger, better, faster sometimes can be a mistake, because the people who are watching at home or listening at home, they want the familiar. I'm not saying anything about anything. Anyway, 51551RT.E. I'm actually using the said headphones on a grass machine mower on a golf course. So you're mowing, you're keeping the sound of the mower out, but you're listening to the radio. Lovely. Give us a picture. Send us a picture. Just met a man on a bike on the old railway line in Cork wearing the same headphones as Kate. And I'm a gardener and I can't do without them. My son bought them for me and it's the best present I ever got. Otherwise, I couldn't listen to RT Radio 1. I'm cutting a hedge right now. That's John. Good luck at the hedge. Mind yourself. I still use a pair of those headphones. I use them for the exact reason you said. I use heavy duty sanding machines at work. Mine have FM and Bluetooth, so you can hook up your phone for calls and RTE. That's nice. And there's a question in for Dermot Bannon there as well. So Dermot Bannon will be with us shortly. So if you have any questions for him, he's the architect. You might have seen him on the telly the odd time. 51551 array at RTE.ie. Now, a fade in rarely happens on songs, but it's worth it for this one. On this Tuesday afternoon, it's Boston, ladies and gentlemen, and More Than a Feeling. Good afternoon. Janet Like That, a classic, absolute legend. That's Boston, More Than a Feeling. Why? Well, it's used in the trailer for the new Michael J. Fox documentary, which is available to watch very shortly here on Apple TV. It's called Still. A short kid from a Canadian army base becomes the international pop culture darling of the 1980s, only to find the course of his life altered by a stunning diagnosis. The actor, who is an incurable optimist, is forced to confront an incurable disease. Of course, he has Parkinson's. And the reason it's called Still is because it's difficult, if not impossible, to stay still when you have Parkinson's. He's asked about being still and he says, I wouldn't know because I've never been still. So he's referring to his illness, obviously, and his energy that he had, which we all loved in Back to the Future and other things. Anyway, looking forward to seeing that. And it got 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. So that's a good one. Michael J. Fox, Still. Hope you enjoyed that in the headphones, lads. A note of caution, though, on the noise-cancelling headphones. They're okay in the park or beach, but not on the street. A road, please, that person, because you don't know what's going on around you because you can't hear it. And why don't people use the RTE app on their phone and connect it to Bluetooth headphones? Well, these are a bit of an oddity, and they work for certain people who are working with heavy machinery, or like to think that they're back in the 1980s, Back to the Future sort of thing. Now, 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. We're looking for two people to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in our Who Done a Quiz. Two quizzers, three whodunit questions on music, sport, TV, books, politics, film, comedians, all that sort of thing. And like all whodunits, there will be clues. If you go without a clue, you get 2 for a correct answer. Go with the clue, it's easier. So you get 1 point for a correct answer, and there is a prize. To celebrate the launch of the River Club's Sanctuary Terrace, the River Lee in Cork is giving one lucky listener the chance to win a 2-night getaway with cocktails on the stunning terrace. There's a bedroom involved as well. Located in the heart of Cork City, the terrace at the River Club has been transformed into a haven of tranquility just in time for the warmer months. The perfect place to enjoy an evening tipple or a weekend brunch with friends. Sanctuary at the River Club is inspired by city parks and Georgian squares and is covered in beautiful clusters of wisteria, ivy and other scented blooms. Sounds delicious and gorgeous. Doylecollection.com/Cork to book a stay at the River Lee. Now, here is your qualifying question on this Tuesday afternoon. James Corden will end his chat show hosting duties this week. What is he famous for? Carpool karaoke or carpool chaos? So James Corden will end his chat show hosting duties this week. What's he famous for? Carpool karaoke or Carpool Chaos. 0818715925. 0818715925.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, architect Dermot Bannon is here to tell us about the RIAI annual Simon Open Door Initiative. And it's something that Dermot has been part of since it began. It's a chance for you homeowners to get some advice on your homes. But in doing so, you also get the opportunity to give back to a very good cause, which is Simon. Good afternoon, Dermot.
Good afternoon, Ray.
Is it a year since we talked about this?
Well, it would have been. It's an annual event. The clue is in the name.
Comes around very quickly, doesn't it?
It does. Jesus, God, we've all got a year older. It is. It's an annual event. I'm so thrilled to be involved in it. It's an absolutely brilliant thing for both architects and the Simon community. It's their biggest fundraiser of the year. There's always great buzz about it, being an architect, because you get people on Instagram and sharing kind of consultations and what they do. So it's as close as architects will get to a festival.
Right.
As possible.
How long has it been going?
19 years. So,
wow.
Yeah, so next year is our 20th anniversary. And I've been actually doing consultations each and every one of these 19 years.
Did you
years.
Do a radio interview for the first one?
No, I wasn't the ambassador for the first one.
Right, okay.
Because I wasn't in television 19 years ago. I'm only 16 years. I'm only just a
16
little...
16 years in television, right. Okay. Yeah.
I wasn't... I think Angela Brady did it back then. But so I'm an ambassador for about 14 years,
okay.
Which is still long enough, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes. And it works like this.
It works like this. So basically, architects up and down the country are giving up their time for free and they're offering consultations to the general public. So that's... You can go in and ask them absolutely anything. You know the way there's people at home and they say, oh, I'd never, no, my problem isn't big
enough.
That's
a stupid question. Yeah,
That's a stupid question. So you can make a €98 donation to the Simon community and you get an hour with an architect to shoot the breeze, to talk to them about a big project, a small project, a heating system, or loads of people are talking about the grants and the grants.
Retrofitting
stuff,
and all that.
Retrofitting the Croí Cónaithe. I've done webinars with the architects.
Croí Cónaithe, tell us about that one.
That's the one that was today. You know, that's the derelict homes.
So we'll come to that. Okay.
So you make a €98 donation and you get an hour with an architect anywhere. And so they've architects up and down the country. And what's, I suppose, look, in days gone by, that was always the ones in Dublin sold out really quick, or in urban centres like Cork and Limerick. It doesn't really matter now, because if there's no slots left and there's somebody in Donegal, take it. You can do it online.
Uh-huh.
You can email them up drawings.
Yes.
They'll send you back stuff. So it's really easy to do.
And your aim is to make how much money?
Oh, I'd love to make 150,000 this year.
But, and what have you done in previous years?
We're up to nearly 2 million over the, because it kind of slowly went from 40,000 to 50,000. I think our biggest so far was 140,000.
Okay, so you'd like to hit the 150,000 mark.
Would be nice. Okay. Yeah,
as I say, it's a great opportunity for people out there. And as you say, every year, I could do this interview without you.
You probably could. You have great memory.
No. Come prepared.
Superfluous.
Come prepared.
Come prepared. Yes. So bring photographs of your house. Just look, and back in the day, people had to go and take photographs on a camera, get them printed out. So find out where north is. If you've got any kind of a plan, so if you bought a house, you might have the original brochure. Everybody hangs onto this in a file. If not, just do a quick sketch of it on a piece of graph paper or line paper, or just take loads and loads of photographs. Fill your phone, because you can swipe through them when you're in the consultation. And the more information we have, the more we can offer. And go in with an open mind, because that's what, you know, it's a chance to talk to somebody and give the fresh eyes on your project.
In your experience, your own personal experience, and talking to other architects.
Yeah.
What do some people just come along for the chats?
Some people, yes. They do, because, or they have a very small problem and they've decided to make their €98 donation.
Yeah, anyway, yes.
And so you come in and it's about a heating system or it's about something, and you've their problem solved in 5 minutes.
Yes, yeah.
And then you just have the chats and it's lovely. And
it's lovely
because, I suppose they're all here for the same purpose. Some people, they'll make the donation then and they mightn't even turn up for the consultation. Okay. They're happy to make it. But it's a brilliant event and I'd love as many people as possible to support it. But it's great because you can actually get something really tangible from it.
So today, more announcements. So there are loads of grants available to people.
Yes.
And we've seen you use them.
Absolutely.
On Room to Improve.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've used the SEAI grants and actually...
That's the
retrofit. Deep retrofit. Zone. So a terraced house is about 25,000. Semi-D is about 28,000. And a detached house is about 30,000. Right. That's towards your house to upgrade it. There's also individual grants if you're just putting in a heat pump or if you're upgrading your insulation. So there's money there.
Are the tradespeople there?
They are. They right. are. Yeah. Look, we've never had a problem.
When you say we, as in Room to Improve, we've never had a problem.
In the practice, okay. Like we do a lot of them through the practice. We put them through the SEI scheme. Look, most contractors, good contractors, are registered. So you just need to use a registered contractor.
Okay.
Changed a little bit this year in that you have to go through the one-stop shop system, right? And that actually makes it easier for people who only want to upgrade their homes, right?
You're not doing extension or anything like that, yes.
If it's a little bit harder if you are doing extension, you have to find a one-stop shop who will do extensions as well.
Right.
And so the percentage of them is a little bit smaller, but a bit of ringing around.
So the one-stop shop are people who are exclusively doing retrofitting.
Absolutely. Okay. And but also, like when we were doing them on the show, we were acting like the one-stop shops. We were doing the pilot scheme for SEAI, and we were just doing it in a very public way. That's all changed this year. The one-stop shops have come in. It's really easy for people.
Okay.
You ring in, they come out, they do your BER, they'll do your assessment, they'll do the specification, they'll apply for your grants, they'll build it, they'll get your... It's really easy now. So anybody who's doing
it... It is still the problem, isn't it? That if you have whatever, how much it costs,
yeah.
you know, between 30 and 60 grand to spend on your house, you retrofit it and it looks exactly the same after you've spent the money.
But it feels totally different.
Right.
It like, I don't know, we retrofitted our house when we were doing it.
I know you can go around in shorts and t-shirts all year round.
What's wrong with Why do you say that in such a derogatory way?
No, it's great. It's brilliant. I'm delighted
for you.
You want a big blingy
window with them, do you?
No, I'm actually delighted for you. I'm so delighted for you. Yeah.
Too great a team.
But it is that thing, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't.
It's a difficult one for people if they have that amount of money to spend on a house.
I suppose. But if you're living in a freezing house, and I don't, everybody seems to be talking this year about the cost of oil, the cost of heating.
Yes, they are.
My poor old mum is turning off everything in the house.
The highest cost of electricity in Europe.
Yeah,
they're telling us.
But I've gone to my mum's house, and she's. I've sat there in my coat because she won't turn it on. She said it's grand. She's that worried about energy costs, and so are a huge amount of the nation.
Our politicians have to get their act together on that one. So we are 23 cent above the EU average when it comes to cents per kilowatt hour.
Really?
Yeah.
Are we that high?
We're that high.
Wow. Because I know we...
So it's 49.9 Ireland, and the lowest one is Hungary, 9.2.
And 3 or 4 years ago, so I just know from where we started off, I think it was about 17.
That's what,
yeah, yes. So when we built our house, the cost was about 17 and I think it was up to 46. We've managed to negotiate a better rate by shopping around, but it's still only in the...
Do you think the government could do anything more about retrofitting? Because we need to retrofit our houses.
We need to have... sustainability,
saving energy, all those things for the future.
Yeah, I think they could. Just throw money at it. And because a huge amount of people can't afford it, but it's the people who can't afford it actually need to do it the most.
Yes, yeah.
Because they're the ones who are coldest in their homes.
Yes, yeah.
So sometimes the people who have the money to do the big jobs, they'll retrofit and they claim the grants. And yes, they should because they're entitled to it. But it's also to help out the people who can't.
That's what I'm saying.
You know,
and
the way you can go onto the Warmer Home Scheme, which if you're on, but you have to be on fuel allowance. And there's lots of people who are broke and are not on fuel allowance. You know, they're on they're surviving.
Yes.
And I think they're the people we need to help.
Okay. Now, one of the things, I remember seeing you doing, I don't know if you did it yourself or you were just visiting it as an example of architecture. It was a pub on a main street in County Clare somewhere.
Yes.
That had been changed from commercial to residential.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Do you remember that one?
I do.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there are grants to do that sort of thing now.
The Croí Cónaithe grants.
Right.
Well, it's to take derelict buildings. And I'm a huge fan of this one because, like, it breaks my heart when you drive around Ireland, right? And everybody talks about the lovely villages we have in Ireland. You drive. We have no villages if we don't have buildings, right? Mm. A village is, if it's a field, it's not a village, right? It's just a crossroads. What makes villages in Ireland particularly beautiful are these really hard edges. You know when you drive into a town and suddenly all the buildings get closer together and you get these lovely long terraces that lead you in, and then it'll be punctuated by a church. Mm. Then the street will widen out because that's where the market was. But if you can imagine a town or a village like a room, those terraces are the walls of the room. If they start to deteriorate, we start to lose the essence of the towns and villages. And it's really uneconomical for people to renovate those because, first of all, they won't get the resale value because there is a bit of a culture in Ireland that, you know, was seen as moving out of the town was the big thing.
Okay.
You know, to move, to get an acre outside of the town was seen
you
as...
You have to repurpose it as well. If it was a retail, if it was a commercial thing.
Yeah, but there's lots of townhouses as well that are there. there, yeah, you know, yeah, you'll yeah, see a door. Yeah. And I just would love to, and what you're seeing now, we're seeing a huge amount of younger people who maybe moved to London and they're all moving back and they want to live in the town.
That's
and they
great,
want
isn't
to buy
it?
These old yes. properties. But then they get a valuation of what it's worth now. And then, okay, so if I put 200,000 into it, what'll be worth? And it's only worth another 50. So I think if we want to maintain our towns
so
and
there
villages,
are grants available and it's gone up. Is it going
70,
up 70,000?
Yeah. So 50,000 you'll get if the building is derelict and you take over it and you repurpose it or refurbish it. But if there's structural issues, which there is with a lot of these older buildings, like you'll get joists,
you get an extra
floors.
20,000.
Yeah, so that brings it up to the 70,000, okay. which is all of these. If it's not just about homes, it's not just about giving people homes. This is about hanging on to our heritage and hanging on to our towns and villages.
And they've also extended to cover to houses built up to 2007.
Yes.
So they've widened
the net.
And so
look, because people do need help. If you're asking people to help us kind of maintain, hang on to our towns and villages and all that, they'll need help to do it.
Is there a state architect?
There is actually. Yeah.
Is there? Right. No. I'm just because most houses that are built now are these skinny three-story houses.
Yes.
With a small enough footprint.
Yeah.
Yeah, and are they I know they're obviously achieving the density thing.
Yeah.
But from an architectural point of view, are they a good thing or a bad thing?
I think they're a good thing because if we're like if the population in Ireland is going to grow to 6-7 million over the next, where are we going to put everybody? If we were to
we've loads of land.
But do we want to keep spread? Like,
okay.
Car use is probably going to go down. We're going to have to become a bit more sustainable. Like people, since the pandemic, people now want to walk everywhere. They want to. You know, they don't want to spend 2 hours commuting. That's gone. So if we're going to have cities and kind of hubs where people will work, they want to live in it. And if we want to do that, we're going to have to bunch up in the thing. Look at Barcelona. Nobody ever goes to Barcelona. Oh, it's really cramped. You know, go to Paris and in the centre or even London. There's a lovely vibrancy to it. There's facilities. You won't get that unless we have kind of people living collectively.
Well, I've been in a number of these looking at them, you know, and what struck me was that, like, I'm still a young-ish man, but, you know, inevitably we all get older.
Yeah.
And traipsing up and down, you know, the flights of stairs, that's not going to suit me when I get older.
No, but that's...
And there's no facility...
But also... The house,
on ground level to put a...
There is an answer. So if you've got a three-story house, that's obviously kind of got a lot of bedrooms in it.
Yeah.
So they're designed for families, right? When you get old, Ray, if you ever get old, it will... You should theoretically be able to downsize.
Right.
You should be able to move into a one or a two bedroomed ground floor apartment. So you could have floors above it. And we need a diversity of housing, right? So with densities, we also need to be able to free up bigger houses for families.
You're passionate about this.
Well, I just think I see. Look,
but it's not happening, is it?
There's nowhere for people to go. We don't have enough diversity in housing.
The example of somebody who's empty nest syndrome.
Yeah.
They're in their late 60s, early 70s. Four bedroom house detached.
One bedroom being used.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
But they want to live locally.
Yes.
Right.
Why can't they?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. There is no, we need infill projects. We need one bedrooms. We need two bedrooms, smaller units, so people can downsize and stay in their own community. We don't do that. We build one house type. We generally have built one house type, and that's the big problem. Diversity and ingenuity and all that.
Have you ever spoken to a minister for housing?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Have you been in the office or just casually?
No, I have.
No,
in both. It is in development plans. And if you build a new housing scheme, like we're doing housing schemes in the office now, and you have to do a certain amount of four beds, three beds, two beds. The problem is that's recent, okay? But a huge quantity of our houses are big Cs of big houses in the city.
Yes.
And so in order to retrofit them, that's why whenever you get an infill site, it should be done with something the opposite to what's already there. So if it's a load of three beds in an area, you should build one beds.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's what you should be in.
So look around, see what's missing and fill in the gaps.
Right. That's
okay,
it.
Okay, right. Now, questions for you. We'll get through a few of them.
How many have we got? I have one more. I have something to ask the audience. Can I do that?
Yeah, right. Ask the audience.
Do you call them audience or listeners? Listeners.
They're my friends.
So we're friends. Yeah. Hello, friends. So we are back on the road doing another series. It's called Super Spaces. Well, that's the working title. And we're looking for anybody who's doing a really quirky project. I don't know if anybody remembers, we did the Ballin Dee Bus. You met the,
yes,
the family then.
Great family, yes. Absolutely. Down in Cork.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're looking for somebody who wants to do a slightly quirky, it could be creating seating outside a shop, it could be commercial, it could be non-commercial. We're looking for anybody who's doing a bit of an unusual project and is going to have it finished by the summer and are a little bit stuck and might need my help and would love me to come down and help them on their journey.
Right.
And so we're looking for a project. So if anybody can contact info at cococontent.ie.
So small...
Small.
Odd projects. Is
odd
that what
project,
you're talking
about? Yeah, something a bit quirky and a bit cool. And right. But it could be a garden room. It could be a writer's room. It could be something for your kids. It could be, and would like my advice in okay. helping them design
so
it.
So say if somebody is converting one of those truck containers.
Absolutely.
That
we
sort
would
of thing.
Love that.
That sort of thing.
Quirky
okay.
project. Sorry,
right.
back to the questions.
Yeah. Is retrofitting dirty work? Does the house get wrecked with dust, etc.?
It does, because it's,
all right,
I suppose.
You
it,
you're
look,
honest,
look, yeah, it does. Yeah, you're not going to do it. Like, you're not going to go away for a weekend and have your house retrofitted. Like, okay. it's you're moving out a lot of the
oh,
stuff.
You?
Yeah, yeah.
It's you have to move out yourself.
It depends on the house. It depends whether you're internally insulating or externally insulating.
Right.
If you're doing a lot of it from the outside, probably not. But if you're doing it from the inside, I would just say be safe. Yes. Is
which is preferable?
It all depends on the house. Like, okay. External insulation is a much better insulation. But if you live in an old house at red brick on a street, you can't do that. You don't want to be the only person who destroys the street.
Right, okay. Please ask Dermot about creaking and popping floors upstairs in a new build. We screwed down bare floors before the carpets went down, but still noisy. Can it be remedied through the ceilings downstairs? Neighbours having similar issues. Thanks.
You may need it's look, timber is a live product, right? And there's water in it and it needs to dry out. You'll see sometimes in houses doors get stuck in the winter and in the summer. So it is just it's movement that will eventually dry out, but you may need to go back at it. You may need to lift the floors. Going up, solving it through the ceiling is not getting rid of the problem. You'll get the creaking from upstairs. So maybe let it settle down if it's a new house and let the timbers dry out. And if it's still, then I would go back and I'd lift the carpets.
What are we talking? What sort of time scale?
Give it 3 years.
3 years. Yeah. There you go. There'd be a noisy house for another 3 years. I know this is a very good cause and well worth contributing, but every architect has different tastes. And I have to say, I wouldn't like a lot of these modern masterpieces that you see many leading architects pushing for. So my question is, how do you find an architect that you be in sync with, especially if you're dealing with an old property?
Okay.
Jim, good question.
Okay, so when you go onto the simonopendoor.ie website, right, you select your region, Leinster, then you select your town, so it could be Wicklow, and then it'll give you the list of architects in that area and they will have a link to their website. So look at their work.
You can look at their work, yes.
And look, do you know something? If you're doing an important project like building a fairly big extension or doing your home, talk to two or three of them. And ask to
shop around.
Shop around.
Yeah. Is there any hope of booking Dermot for a Zoom meeting? Thanks, Bridget.
Are you booking me in for a Zoom meeting there?
I forgot to say, you came up on the quiz recently. Did you hear that?
No.
You know, we do this thing and it's whodunit.
Yeah.
And,
what should I do?
No. And we ask our quizzers to identify voices.
Yeah.
So say Irish voices.
Yeah.
So you were the Irish voice.
I was the Irish voice.
So you had this lady on. Right. So do you want to hear it? Put your headphones on there. Have you got a pair of headphones? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is how it happened. The first voice you'll hear is yours talking about building a house for Crow.
Okay.
From Wanderley Wagon. Here we go.
And then I used to climb up and get into the shelf. And I used to sit in there.
Who's that?
Oh, he's the fella who's always on the Late Late Show, wasn't he?
Did she get your name right? Let's see.
Oh,
here we go. Yeah, not finished here, yeah.
Dermis.
Yeah, you run out of time, but...
Dermot Gannon? No.
It's Dermot Bannon. See, I thought everybody knew you.
Oh my God, well,
she was close. She knew you anyway from the Late Late Show.
And slagging me off being on the Late Late Show.
She wasn't slagging you, she was just trying to think, you know, she was working through it in her head.
I would have taken Gannon. I would have given her the prize. Did you not give her the prize?
She'd run out of time as well. I can't remember the specifics.
So mean.
I'm looking for specific architectural advice because I'm living in an apartment and obviously constrained by the outer four walls and internal supporting walls.
Yes.
It's mainly a storage solution I'm looking for regarding adding storage that works the shape, works aesthetically and of course functionally. How do I choose the architect?
www.simonopendoor.ie and go into somebody who does smaller projects and look at their website and have a bit of a trawl around. And honestly, look, most architects are qualified to do whatever kind of design. Somebody will help you and they'll have a they'll have a good, ingenious solution to that.
So it's RIAI.
No, it's just go on to simonopendoor.ie.
Simonopendoor.ie. Okay. And you are looking for somebody who's doing a
really quirky project. Yes.
Something zany.
Yes. Something else. Do that again.
No, I hate that word.
I wish the audience could see what he did there. He did jazz hands. I hate
that word zany. And this is part of a new program which is called...
Well, no, that's the working title. It's like Super Spaces. Yes. It's kind of just, what we're trying to do is make a series about really cool, clever spaces.
Okay.
And we're branching out from homes and we're branching out from, we're doing kind of urban spaces, so it's just where design is clever.
Okay. Dermot, always good to see you, and we'll see you. What does the contract say?
Least once a year.
We'll see you very shortly.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, a new Irish film was filmed in Granard in Longford. It's going to hit the cinemas nationwide from this Friday. No, sorry, next Friday, May 5th. It's called Lakelands. It stars Aina Hardwick as a young GAA hopeful. It's been billed as a Midlands football drama. And we're joined by the two men who made it, Robert Higgins and Patrick McGivney. Good afternoon, Robert. Good afternoon, Paddy.
Thanks for having us, Ray.
Paddy to friends. I can call you Paddy. Yeah. Congratulations on Lakelands.
Thanks very much. Yeah. Thanks for watching us. Yeah.
And I know you've done it and it's been out there for a long time now. Do you ever go back and watch it again? When's the last time you watched it?
We've watched it quite recently, actually. But I think we're on the 200 viewing off at this point. Yeah. So it gets a little bit... doesn't have the same sparks that first time quite when you watch it 200 times. But no, we're very... it's nice watching it back and reliving the memories and all the rest of making it.
It's a very Irish movie set in the Midlands in Longford. Features GAA, dairy farming and... romance.
It's a great synopsis.
Well, I didn't get into the drinking and the cocaine, but that's for later. That's for later, right. Okay. So ye know each other since when?
Yeah, so we actually know each other since we were kids. We actually met at football training, which is a bit funny considering the film we made. But we kind of grew up together. We played football up all through all the age groups and... You know, we went to college and we did a few years in Dublin, but then we kind of started talking about making films again. You know, we'd be out in the pub and these ideas would always come niggling to us at some point during the night. And Gaelic football in particular, you know, we grew up in that and we always thought there should be a film made about this. Yeah. There wasn't a huge representation of it in cinema, despite its kind of prevalence in Irish culture. So we're really eager to kind of make a film about it.
Yeah. So Keane plays for the local club.
He does indeed.
He's captain indeed of the local
senior
team. Yeah.
He is. He's a fading star, unfortunately for him.
So he's in his late 20s, is he?
He is, he is. And he's one of those guys that played a bit of county but never quite achieved his potential. We're keen to depict a character of that nature. And unfortunately for him, he gets attacked on a night out. He gets a really bad concussion and he has to come to terms with the fact that he can no longer, you know, pursue his GAA dreams, or they're at the very least, they're in question. It just follows him as he tries to navigate his new world and struggling with identity when the thing he has his identity wrapped up in gets kind of taken away.
Yeah, it happens naturally with age as well, doesn't it?
It does.
Because like GAA is such a huge part of the parish and the county and of people.
It is. It's a huge part of every kind of rural community. And there's so many positive attributes and, you know, it gives people a real sense of, you know, pride of place, keeps young people fit, it keeps them engaged in the community. But I think we were just keen to depict it in a kind of as accurate a way as possible and not kind of shy away from maybe some of the more challenging aspects of playing club football. I think every club footballer will admit that, you know, you don't play without, you know, lots of sacrifice.
Yes.
And there's a huge time commitment and a lot of times club footballers are kind of misunderstood in that regard.
Yeah, because when you say sacrifices, that could be, you know, you can't be going out with the lads.
For sure, yeah.
Having the pints, but Keane does, and that's that's how he gets attacked. And he continues to do so, and there's a lad who's leading him astray. And your depiction of it, because there's a good bit of drinking and there's cocaine, there's a good bit of smoking weed, and all that happens, and we know that it happens in every town and village in the country. You don't glamorise it in any way, shape or form. But is it, do you think it's something, and you can't speak for the GAA, but it is something that the GAA are aware of and probably need to address?
Yeah, I think it is something that's kind of prevalent across all kind of communities and all sports clubs. So I think we were keen to, I suppose, just depict it with, you know, hold a mirror up to it a little bit without passing judgment on it. I think as filmmakers, we're never keen to, tell the audience what we think necessarily and hopefully leave it open for them to draw their own conclusions about the harm it may or may not be doing.
So people recognise Aina Hardwick from Normal People. And his love interest, for want of a better word, it's not a love interest really, but it's an old friend returning home from London. It's played by Danielle
Galligan.
And both of their performances are nearly perfect, aren't they? They're brilliant, and there's a lovely chemistry between the two of them.
There is. We got very lucky.
We were delighted with them. Like, both of them they've done a lot of great work. They've both done, Aina's done Normal People. Danielle's on a really big Netflix show called Shadow and Bone. Yeah. We're delighted we could convince them to come down to Longford for a couple of weeks to shoot it.
Do you think Lakelands is sort of Normal People written by fellas? would that be a good description of it?
I think we definitely share a little bit of DNA here and there with it.
Yes,
I guess we want to drill into a little bit into some of the grittier sides of kind of small town life. And but like, it's, you know, that's a phenomenal piece of work. We're delighted that there is parallels.
Any comparison, as well as
So Gary Lydon plays the part of Bernie, who's the coach.
Yes,
and he's sort of mentor to Keane and giving him advice. And there's a lovely, and this will, strike a chord with a lot of people who've been on a training pitch of a Thursday night, the week before the league starts or whatever, or the championship starts. And Gary's given them the lads a bit of his mind as the coach.
No, I don't need to tell any of ye how important this first game is. But I will tell you one thing. The last time you played these, you were bullied on this pitch here in front of half of the town. Remember how it felt walking off the field that day? Remember that? Now ask yourselves, you're going to let it happen again. For the lads who think they're pulling the wool over my eyes, falling around the town at the weekends, been there, done that, have the t-shirt, yeah? You're fooling no one but yourselves. The bull stops here, lads, yeah? It stops here right now, yeah? Right, that's it. Come on.
I like it.
It's measured. Flashbacks.
It's measured.
Yeah.
Starts slow, builds up.
That's it, yeah. We were on the receiving end of a few of those talks there today, so that's how we were able to write it, I suppose.
Yeah. So what level did you play to? Just club level?
I played up to senior, and this man's actually just retired a few weeks ago, if that's up to the bit for debate. Come out of retirement a few times at this point.
Yeah, Rob saw sense at 18, and you know, I stayed playing until very, very recently.
For Granard?
For Granard, St Mary's Granard, exactly.
Right, okay, what position?
Cornerback. I started out wing back, but was put back in the corner fairly lively.
So you're not an attacking player, is it? You're a stopper.
I am in my head, but the reality is a little different, unfortunately.
Right. And a lot of it was filmed on your dad's, well, the family farm.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, it was filmed on my dad's dairy farm. Yeah. So we had 60 dairy cows ready and willing to be extra. So
And one heifer obliged and calved for camera.
She did indeed, on cue. But yeah, like, shooting coincided with our calving season, which was fortuitous. But the very first day we were shooting, my dad came rushing in and was like, there's a cow about to calve. And so he grabbed Aina by the scruff of the neck and grabbed her cinematographer and threw them into the shed, and we gave Aina like a 45 second tutorial on how to calve a cow. And I think it's a testament to how good an actor he is
he looked convincing.
He pulled it off and the calf survived, which was the acid test.
No cows were harmed in the making of Lakeland. So writing as two lads, writing Grace the character, because she's a very rounded character, did you draw on past experiences, former girlfriend, sister?
Yeah, absolutely. I think all our work is very personal in that way. Yeah. But like, Danielle also like contributed so much when we would do the script workshops and stuff, and if there was ever a bum note or anything, she'd be fairly lively and correcting you, and we were delighted to have that insight. But I think all our work kind of has that personal element as much as we can kind of get.
And great news today, because both Aina and Danielle have been nominated for IFTA Newcomers Awards.
Exactly, it's amazing.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah, we're delighted for them.
So what next for you two?
Yeah, so I think we've got a new project in development with Screen Ireland at the moment called Bonfires. That small town again. We haven't left Longford just yet, but we're also kind of starting to look into the UK and the US for the first time now. So hopefully, get
well, this is a good calling
going.
Card.
Yeah,
it's a great calling card. Yeah.
Thanks a million.
And was there a screening in Granard?
There was a screening in the backstage in Longford.
Right.
So that was another acid test, I suppose. A lot of the people that were in it and were it did extra came to see it. And there was no Rotten Tomatoes thrown up on stage.
Right.
So I think they seemed to go down well.
They know what you got, and it's very difficult. I don't know why people get it wrong so often. Probably because it's difficult to get right. Is the pub scenes with the extras, all those things.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes you're looking at them going, it doesn't happen like that.
But yeah.
So how did you achieve that?
We had actual locals drinking in the pub. So. That was our secret.
There's a queue forming when they heard there was an open tab up in John V's.
All right, so that's how you did it. Oh, there you go. Bribery, yeah. Well, I suppose you have to pay them anyway. My daughter had a small part in Lakelands and loved working with the lads. Best luck to them in the future, says Mags. So there you go. And there's loads of Irish music featured as well. And over the credits, you play Strange Boy and Waiting. So we play a bit of that and tell people that Lakelands is in cinemas from Friday week. The 5th of May. Congratulations, lads. Well done.
Thanks very
great
much.
Great movie.
So much.
Highly recommended from here. Strange Boy and Waiting, as featured in Lakelands, which is on general release in Irish and UK cinemas as in from Friday week. Quick commercial break. Yeah.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Grandma, good morning. Thank you very much. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. The man with the big red headphones with the aerial and FM radio has been on. His name is Ted. He says, I'm the guy with the headphones who met you on your run last Sunday morning. I use them a lot when working in the garden as I can listen to the radio without needing the phone. The family are always slagging me about them and have to jump in front of me to get my attention. You'll have to move a bit faster to keep up with the dog. That's Ted. Yeah, well, the dog is odd because when I have him on the lead, he lags behind me. And then when you let him off, he sprints in front of me. And if there's a squirrel or a bird or something, he's gone. So you think he's slowing down with age. Like we all do. But then when a grey squirrel is spotted, whoosh, sprints, Usain Bolt-like. That's dogs for you. Now, we've two people standing by to play our whodunit quiz. Yeah, three questions each for them in a moment. And there's a prize. And it's two nights stay in the River Lee in Cork. They're celebrating the launch of the River Club's Sanctuary Terrace. So a two night stay for two people. It's located in the heart of Cork City. The terrace at the River Club has been transformed into a haven of tranquility just in time for the warmer months. Bring it on. The perfect place to enjoy an evening tipple or a weekend brunch with friends. Sanctuary at the River Club is inspired by city parks and Georgian squares, covered in beautiful clusters of wisteria, ivy and other scented blossoms. I can smell it from here. DoyleCollection.com, DoyleCollection.com/Cork. Hello, Helen Shields in Galway.
Hello, how are you?
Not too bad.
Good.
You're heading back. You're heading back after your maternity leave.
I am next Wednesday. Yeah.
Yes, but
back with a vengeance.
You're well used to because this is the what? How many times?
Baby number 4.
Right.
You are. So yeah, back on Wednesday. So we're trying to keep the house nice and quiet now, so we can hear your questions.
Okay. So Jack's 8. Hi, Jack. Connor's 5. Yeah. Aaron's 3, and little Eve is 7 months old.
Indeed, yeah, busy house.
Very busy. What are you heading back into?
Primary school.
Ah, more children.
Yeah. So back for, the 2 months.
Yeah, yeah. What class will you be speaking, or teaching, not speaking, teaching?
Senior infants, yeah. So really looking forward to returning.
Six, seven,
is
it? Six, seven. So
six and 7-year-olds, yeah. Wonderful bunch in Clare, Galway.
And you have a bit of a commute, do you?
No, short, really.
Okay.
We're going against traffic, as we say, out our side.
Aha, against the traffic.
Yeah.
Always good to go against the traffic.
Exactly.
No, I'm reading here, Helen, that you're looking forward to listen to a podcast on the way to work.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Imagine being able to decide what you listen to in the car on a daily basis. That's wouldn't right. that just be wonderful? Spotify has us all ruined, you see.
I know.
Hopefully I'll get my own podcast back soon.
And I don't have it in my car, but Jenny has it in her car where you go, Google, play, whatever, you know.
She's very advanced.
Very advanced, yeah. So when you get when you get that in the car, you've lost all control. You know, because they're
the great thing.
Go on.
Oh, pardon me. The great thing is that they listen to my music at the moment.
Oh, do they? Right.
But you know, as in, I suppose they're influenced by their parents at this stage.
Yeah. And what are you subjecting them to?
Oh, God, a real mix now. I wouldn't be a music head at all, but anything.
Okay, well, that's good.
Anything that we can sing along to, yeah. No more than your James Corden and your Carpool karaoke.
Yeah. And, of course, they can make up their minds then when they get old enough. You're up exactly. against Anne Gately, who's also in Galway. Hello, Anne.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Yeah, but you're not a Galway woman.
No, Rossi, all the way.
And you're a GAA fan and you're disappointed.
Disappointed after our loss now on Sunday, but sure.
Yeah. So
what can you do?
The way I heard it, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Galway outplayed Roscommon in the first half. Roscommon, whatever happened at halftime, came out like a team possessed. But Galway came back into it in the last 10 minutes or so.
That's exactly it, yeah. You have it off there.
Yeah.
You're not watching the match yourself, no?
No, I wasn't watching the match, no. I was doing the garden. That's what I was doing on Sunday.
Okay. That had to be done.
Somebody has to do it. So you've three girls, and what's the split on Galway versus Roscommon supporters?
Well, the eldest, she in solidarity with me now, supported Roscommon, but the younger two, they're, turncoats. They went with their daddy and supported Galway.
Right. Well, you know, when you're young, you'll always go with the winning side, won't you?
That's true too.
So it's Cassie, Megan and Amelia. And what ages are they?
So 17, 12 and 8.
Okay. And they're big sporty people.
Yes. Football matches and trainings and all sorts of every evening. Yeah. Not a day that we're not on the road.
I know it's a bit of a pain sometimes, but it's great to see as well.
I know it is.
It is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So it's Anne Gately in Galway versus Helen Shields in Galway. Three questions each. Firstly, I'll tell you the category. Then I'll ask if you want to go with a clue or not. If you go with a clue and get it right, you get a point. If you go without a clue, more difficult. You get 2 points for a correct answer. And then whoever gets most points is the winner. And if the drawing points, then we go to a tiebreak question. Good luck, Helen. Good luck, Anne. Here we go. Okay. Helen, music is the first category. Do you want a clue or not?
I do.
You do? Okay, right. Listen.
Oh, hold on now. Oh, I forgot. I meant to go with the hard one first.
I don't
need a clue.
You don't need a clue. Okay, so you're not getting a clue. And if you get this right, you get 2 points. Okay, so for 2 points,
let's go first.
Who is this? Who's that?
Oh, Gorillaz.
Yes, Gorillaz is the correct answer.
Probably Damon Albarn.
Yes, it is Gorillaz. Yeah, 2 points. Well done. UK virtual band appear as animated fictional characters. Damon Albarn is the man behind it. Gorillaz gets you 2 points. Okay, Anne, music for you as well. Do you want to go with a clue or not?
No clue.
So for two, who's this? Who's that?
Is it like the Blizzards or something?
No.
Kaiser Chiefs. Okay.
Early days, Anne. Do not panic, whatever you do.
Okay.
Category number two is Irish TV hosts.
Yes,
Helen. What do you want to do?
I'll take the clue.
You'll take the clue. Okay, right. So this is your clue. Listen carefully. This Irish TV host and broadcaster was live at 3 for 11 years. Okay? So for 1 point, can you name this Irish TV host?
Now on the main artery, which goes right to the heart of the city of Dublin. This is the
Derek
River
Liffey.
Besides
Say again.
Guinness boats about to
Derek Davis?
It is Derek Davis, yes.
Carrying the blessed fluid across
the late,
world.
The late, great Derek
I'm
Davis.
I'm showing my age.
Yeah, well, you got a point for that. Well done. It is Derek Davis, right. This river, a thousand years Thanks, ago. Derek. Thank you very much. Now, Anne, Irish TV hosts, what do you want to do? Helen's on three.
I will go no clue.
Okay, so Irish TV host, for 2 points and to keep you in the game, who is this?
I suppose my favourite place to hang out or spend a weekend in Ireland would have to be Kinsale. And I know I'm from Cork, and it's a really ridiculous Cork person thing to say my favourite place is Cork, but I have a reason. I mean, anybody who's been to Kinsale, should I say, would probably say the same thing. I mean, it's beautiful when the weather's nice, and there's the water, and you can go surfing.
Who's that? Anne?
I haven't a clue.
No, no.
No. No, who was it?
Sinead Kennedy.
Oh, no, I would never have got it.
No. She's on with Doughy, isn't she, and Maura Duran. And
She
used
okay.
to present Winning Streak with Marty Whelan back in the day. That's Sinead Kennedy. Now, you can't catch Helen. She's on three. There's only one question left. So, Anne, we're going to send you out a Ray Darcy Show Keep Cup.
You're very good. Keep. Congratulations, Helen. You deserve it now.
Yeah.
Before
Thank
you go
you
back
Anne.
To work.
Yeah.
We're very, very grateful here. We were going to take
brilliant.
The coffee cup, you know. We'd have been happy with the coffee cup.
You know what? I'm used to losing, so it's okay.
No. I feel so bad for you. The Rossies,
okay.
The Rossies will have their day and on. They will.
We will.
Yes. Okay,
and never.
Good luck. And never. Good luck. See you. Bye, Helen. Well done.
We're thrilled. And we can talk again in the house. The house doesn't have to be quiet anymore.
There you go. And you and a person of your choice, and as Anne rightly said, you probably need a break. Are off to the River Lee in Cork. DoyleCollection.com/Cork. It sounds lovely down there. Enjoy it and well done. And good luck going back to work. See you, Helen. Bye now. Bye.
Thanks so much. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
We'll be finding out about the traditions around the 1st of May and Beltane and all that in the company of folklorist Michael Fortune in a moment. But first, a bit of the weekend of a Tuesday. Blinding Lights. Now, by the temperatures this week, it may not seem like summer is on the way, but according to the Irish calendar, summer begins on the 1st of May, which is Monday, which kicks off the Celtic festival known as Beltane. Michael Fortune joins me now to talk about some of the folklore we associate with Beltane and the month of May. How are you doing, Michael?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm good. And the funny thing is, Ray, whatever day the 1st of May falls on, Christmas Day will fall on that day. There's a bit of...
I love that. I love that. So this year, Christmas Day is on a Monday?
Sunday.
Monday. You're confusing them.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, so it's the May Bank holiday is the earliest it can be, obviously on the 1st, because Monday is the 1st. So we all have a day off. Well, some of us have a day off. It's great to see you because, of course, back then, the calendar is punctuated by all these little festivals. We don't do it as much now anymore, do we?
No, not as much. I suppose some of them have survived. Like I was in with you there back at Halloween. And
yes,
that survived. Yeah. May is on the rise again.
Is it?
It was always there. It was always there, and people marked it in their own kind of more kind of private ways with like the May bush, and there were loads of little things, May bonfires. So that kind of tradition is getting more popular. I suppose maybe life has changed when people have kind of moving away from the church in some ways, but they're looking out for other things, you know.
Okay.
And I suppose we're connecting back with nature, and I suppose one of the great things as well we need to do it as humans is connect back with the seasons and the environment around us, and I suppose those dates always were there.
Yes, know? Yes, yeah. Yeah, they don't change. So Beltane, what does it mean, Beltane?
Yeah, no, I'm no expert on the some people say it's bright fire, bright light.
Right.
Now, definitely the day was marked with bonfires. Now, you have the Uisneach is happening up there in a couple of days' time, but I know from my own experience at home in around Gorey, in Arklow, and even my own grandmother, they always had bonfires on that night. Or they called them bonfires, that's what they called them. They had a bonfire. And they used to have fires, and then they would have a bit of a dance or a bit of a celebration to mark the coming of summer. I remember a woman I know down below at home, she said as well that what they did was they lit two fire. The cattle were being let back out onto the land again. Now they're in the land,
yes.
Cattle are in slatted units all winter. But back then, cattle were being let back out, the land was dry. And they used to light little fires. This woman told me, she said, she remembers her uncle lighting two little fires, and the cattle were brought through these fires, and they said it stopped the fairies milking the cows in the field. So there was loads around. I know.
Sorry. Yeah. No, but I was watching Simon Reeves.
Yeah.
I just happened upon him. You know, he's one of these travel journalists, and
yeah,
he does programmes for the BBC or Channel 4. But I just happened upon him in Ireland last week. It's an old programme, but it was on BBC Northern Ireland. And he was talking to Eddie Lenihan. And Eddie was telling the story about the fairy bush.
Yeah.
And they campaigned to get the road. And he showed them where the road had a little swerve in it, down in Clare or someplace, to avoid the fairy bush.
They did. And it's funny, I was chatting to a researcher today, and she said to bring in a few bits and pieces.
Yeah.
And I'm holding up a little bit of a rowan or a mountain ash, a bit of a white, or sorry, not a bit of a furze bush or a gorse bush.
Yes.
But the white thorn is what Eddie and the lads had bypassed around as a white thorn. And no one will touch a lone white thorn. They said it was a fairy tree. It was a very sacred tree. And it goes back to a lot of, you'll find them at holy wells and things like that. But there's no way, when I left Wexford today, I said, I'm going to bring Ray Darcy in a piece of white thorn. Because they said it was fierce bad luck to bring him into the house. They said, if you brought him into the house, right, you'd be ran. You'd be, you know.
I'm wondering, because in all of those sort of old traditions, there was always a little germ of truth or something. Okay. I'm wondering where that came from.
Oh, completely. A lot of absolutely. You'll find it with certain things for sure. Like even the things that the dandelions.
Yes.
As a chap.
Pissing the bed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, and you know what we've realised now? Sure, they were. That's what they were used for. They were used for problems like that.
Oh, right.
So,
were they?
Yeah.
Right.
So you wouldn't go and eat in a pile of them now, whatever, or else you
no,
wouldn't.
No, but it'd make you wee, would it?
It would make you wee, yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. There, so there's natural things there.
Yes.
So those things definitely. Now, sometimes they get lost a little bit why we did them and why we didn't do them.
Yeah.
But the white thorn was one of them. No one did run you if you went inside with
it. Thank you very much.
Thanks a million. I'm warning you now.
The gorse, lovely smell, beautiful smell. Loads of gorse down the Curragh where I'm from. And that's the what?
A mountain ash or a rowan tree. Now, there, the rowan tree, and also the white thorn. The white thorn was the most important. That's what we would use for the May bush. And the May bush was always put up. Again, you're going back to the fairies. See, the thing is, they were always afraid. People were doing everything they could to protect the crops and protect the cattle. And I suppose whatever belief they had, they believed to do anything at all to keep them right. Because
right.
You needed them. Sure, we needed them.
Yes,
we needed them
because
we needed them for the winter.
And they believed that if they didn't light those fires, that the fairies would come and milk the cows.
One of the stories, yeah.
Yes.
And that's the reason. I know a man at the back of the mountain in Carlow, and he will go out and he'll get a little piece of white thorn on May Eve, coming Sunday, and he'll stick it up where the cows are walking, and he says that'll stop it. He probably saw it from his mother and father, he probably saw it from their parents. And sure, come here, it's not a hard thing to do if the belief is there.
So the May Eve then, so there would have been bonfires on May Eve, and then on May itself, was there a maypole, the dance around the maypole? Is that an English thing or an Irish thing?
It was done in Ireland, parts of Ireland, in the towns. We'd really had a thing called the May Bush, the May Bough, and the May Tree, and also the May Flowers. Now, a lot of our traditions, Ray, would have come in from England or Wales, but they would have come in from the Germans, had them, the Scandinavians had them, so there are a lot of cross-European stuff.
Was the May bush a bit like a Christmas tree?
Absolutely, exactly. And again, your home county in Kildare, I've seen it up in North Kildare, Offaly. Again, Leinster, South Ulster, East Connacht, East Munster was where it was really strong. And the idea was you'd get one of these little bits of boughs, you'd cut them down. It's no different than putting up a Christmas tree. You know what I mean?
Yes,
if an alien came back...
Is it outside or inside?
Outside. Had to be outside.
Yeah.
And you'd put it up on the evening of May Eve and you'd decorate with these little things that I've got here in jars in front of you.
So you'd paint eggshells and all sorts of things. Yeah,
you'd use eggshells in particular. Eggshells were kept up after Easter Sunday because remember people were fasting and then they'd have loads of hen and duck eggs. So you'd make little garlands of duck eggs and hen eggs like this that I'm holding up. Nowadays, people use these little things. You know when children have got little yolks left over from Easter?
Oh, yeah, the kinder things. The little toys are in the kinder, yeah.
And little ribbons and stuff.
Right.
Even people will use, I've seen up in Offaly using this, they will get the Easter egg wrappers. You know the Easter egg wrapper?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And wrap it on it. I knew one May bush down below in Timon in Wexford. The poor old woman is dead now. But I swear, if you were a stranger going by, you'd swear someone just emptied a rubbish bin on top of the bush by the side of the road. But it was full of Easter egg shells and Easter wrappers and things like that.
Yeah.
But people do them, you know.
Yeah. Because I know, how many children have you got?
Three girls. Yeah.
And are you going to decorate a tree for the weekend? Yeah.
We did. My mother did it with us at home. Granny did it. And my other half, her father did it when he was a child. And what happened was loads of the traditions took a nosedive in the 60s. The folk music went up, but folk traditions went down. And maybe people felt they were backward and they were stupid. But I think people kind of realised maybe the natural side, we're connecting back with the seasons and nature again. And I know, back home in Wexford, we've got a thing called a maybush going, and we've about 1,000 little maybushes growing in every corner of the county again.
Right.
And with the idea that people will watch them grow and decorate them, and I suppose watch the seasons, watch the leaves come on them, you know, and especially grandparents. Oh, maybe when we're getting older, you kind of value things differently. You see things differently when you have children. You get a bit older, and I'm seeing grandparents, grandparents now who are, they're not going to say, listen, I'm going to do that this year.
Okay, right.
And that's what's lovely.
And what about the month of May? Traditions around that, what should you do and not do?
Oh, God. I'm taking a drink of water, and water is one of the really, really important things in the month of May. One of the things was you'd always go out. Now, I saw you swimming the other day up in Laytown.
Well, swimming now wasn't swimming. It was maintaining to say standing in very rough Irish sea. That's what it was. Yeah.
But come here, once you get into water, you know this. Once that there's an energy, there's something there. Oh, completely. It wipes away everything, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And one thing we used to always do, and the older people remembered in this, go out in the May morning and said, wash your face in the May dew. So I'd even reckon Ray'd actually do this privately in your own place.
Right.
Go out and get your hands in the May dew. Yeah. May morning, throw it on your face, and it'll waken you up and telling you that.
Right? Yeah, and that was a thing.
A cure. They said it kept your skin fresh, for the girls, it all kept them young and pretty. That's what I remember. The older women would always tell me. But for men would walk in it for corns in their feet, for sore feet.
In barefoot.
Yeah. Yeah. I met a woman she's since passed. She told me today is to get a little bottle and to collect the May. Again, this is all belief, right? To collect the May dew and to squeeze it into a little bottle, and to use it for sore eyes.
Right.
And the gas thing was. I can have this as belief. It's belief.
Placebo, yeah.
Absolutely. And over in Newfoundland, which is like the 33rd county, the traditions that were done here were done over there. And I found exactly what we were doing here, they were doing, but their environment was different. They didn't have dew, but they had snow. And they said if the first bit of snow that came in the May, we'd
remind us how so many Irish people ended up in Newfoundland.
Yeah, the Basques were fishing first. The Bretons were fishing over there. Obviously, the native communities were there well before the Europeans were there. The Vikings were there. So the West Country English caught wind of the fishing, and they were going over 1500s and probably 1700s, late 1700s, to start to pick up at a big scale. They pull into Waterford and Wexford, and they used to get young men, single men, to come to work. And then they eventually went over. And eventually the Irish stayed over there, but they stayed in absolute rural, isolated communities, only connected by roads in most cases until the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
So they hung on from the 1790s, they hung on to accents, dialect, culture, music, song, everything. The look and walk like,
it's like a time capsule. There was like
It's nuts. It's mental.
Right.
And any of the traditions we have, they put up the May bush, or the May tree as they call it. And they don't have the same trees.
You've been over there, so they speak with Waterford accents.
Waterford, South Kilkenny, Wexford, depending on what community you go to. We were in a community called Branch, South Kilkenny, South Tipax. And that, not the way they say it's Teo and Skewel and all that sound. Not that sound they make, right? Then you go up the road, the next community, which could be half an hour's drive, and it'll be Wexford accents, right? And they eventually mixed in and married and all that kind of crack, right? But they kept all their lovely tribal differences. The Kilkenny ones to the one side, the Wexford ones to the one side.
And they have the Maybush. Just on, you know, don't shed a cloud till May is out. Now, this comes up every year, and I can never remember what the definitive origins of it are.
Well, I'll tell you what I know.
Right. This is what I know.
The May tree is known as the Whitethorn or the Hawthorn. Whitethorn, we call it, but the Hawthorn is a technical name for it. And she's actually very slow at putting out her leaves this year. And, you know, it's a great sign. Some people always said, never cast a clout, take off any clothes, don't take off the drawers and the underwear and get into the summer clothes until the month of May. But it's not. You keep an eye out. This is back to the seasons again. You keep an eye out what the Whitethorn is doing.
Uh-huh.
And when she puts out her lovely flowers, then you realise she's in tune. She's in more in tune than we are.
So it's warm enough to...
So these are
put away the winter cold.
Absolutely. Yeah. These are little signals for us to do stuff.
Right. Now we're running out of time. I always enjoy the chat here. Would a leap year change May Day and Christmas Day falling on the same day of the week? Michal wants to know.
Oh,
take that away with you now. Bialtina Tina Fire. Bial means Baal, a famous god. So there you go.
Yeah.
That's another version of it. We still wash our faces in the May dew on the 1st of May, says Margaret Glasnevin. And just wondering, is that where the name Maeve came from? Maeve?
No.
Maeve and Cork,
I'm not sure, I wouldn't think so.
And final one, we've 30 seconds on this one, Michael Fortune. Can you ask about Maeve? We also have a family tradition of blessing the hearth or house and land on Maeve. My Nana always did it. We still do it in our house. It involves our kids.
Absolutely. People went out and blessed the land on May Eve. You blessed the land in the same way to keep the fairies away. People would walk across the land, sprinkle Tran water or May water or Easter water, and they blessed it. But I just want to get in one thing before you do go, Ray.
Right. You've listened. Go on.
We have a lovely Maybush concert in Wexford on the 30th in Ballandigan. So check out the Wexford Maybush Festival for a lovely concert of traditional music in Wexford this coming weekend.
Sunday.
Sunday night. Okay, Michael Fortune, I really enjoyed that. Thanks so much for filling us in on the traditions surrounding May and Beautina. Cormac is on the way on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.